The level of women deciding to go into trades is still low, even though there's been a push for some time to find it attractive. What are the barriers, do you think?
Yeah, so we know that women make up just 2% of the non-traditional trades at the moment, and that figure is much lower, as you can imagine, for the manufacturing trades as well. Some of the barriers, I guess, to be brutally honest, the amount of sexual harassment in these sorts of male-dominated industries is a real turn-off for women. Even just a lack of employer understanding of the things that women will need in work sites like female toilets, which is just absolutely amazing that, you know, this sort of stuff's still going on in 2023. But also just that lack of exposure in schools and for mature age women to even, you know, consider the trades as an option. That's something we've been really trying to target through the project. So the Women in Trades project has been running, you know, trade days, networking forums, we've been providing workshops, all that sort of stuff, so that women know that the trades are actually an option for them.
Yeah, yeah, because as you point out, there is a very high level skill set that is involved in a range of trades. And the idea that half the population or more than half the population won't have people in it who really are set on fire by the idea of applying mental and manual skills in a process that is what trades are about. I mean, you know, it's an interesting job.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a rewarding career. You know, you can get really well-paying jobs. You can get, you know, that satisfaction out of a bit of creativity, making something from start to finish. But I guess we figure trades to be a little something more to women. You know, they can provide that sort of financial independence from a coercive relationship. Even stuff like providing a pathway out of the poverty cycle, we see it as so much more for women. You know, being able to show that the trades are more than just, you know, for men, women can show that, you know, we can do this too, that it is something, you know, that they can bring a lot of value to, not just in the work, but also to workplaces as well.
Which leads to the question of the big issue of sexual harassment, actual work culture that needs to change. Now, it's obvious that if you want to change it, you have to have more people represented by the group, right? Because otherwise the dominant group can just walk all over people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it really relies on having those, you know, leaders in the workplace, often male leaders standing up and just sort of setting the tone for the culture. But also it really does rely on the employer taking the initiative to provide training. I know Women on Site, for instance, are running a great program at the moment on gender violence, workplace gender violence. So it really is the employer's responsibility to step up. And, you know, it's not just a case of, oh, let's start hiring women. It's about starting to provide a real supportive environment and making sure that the women aren't going to be, you know, having a really rough time. A lot of work's being done in so many different areas. I think more recently we've been in Trades Hall, we've been pushing to end non-disclosure agreements in regards to sexual harassment. I think that'll be absolutely massive at the moment. You know, you can be working in one of these workplaces and, you know, something terrible like that can happen to you and you can be forced to have to close your mouth about it for the rest of your life, which is just absolutely disgusting, to be honest. So, yeah, all these different bits of work that are being done by the union movement, it's just incredible and it really is making a difference.